How many of you already know this? We have the Lord to lean on. But you know what? We need one another. And that's the work that God does in our lives. And some of you say, oh, no one could lean on me. No, people need you. We need one another. Your scars, your failures, your stories, God will use those. He'll use those. You know, the Bible says that we are to comfort one another with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And God will use that. And one of the most beautiful things we have this side of heaven is the family of God. And we're living in days where, you know, and for some understandable reasons and for some I'll never understand, where we're all kind of isolated, you know what? And it is just so, so good to be together today. So good to have you online with us. Lean on people around you. Lean on us. We truly do need one another. Amen? And I wish we could hold hands and touch shoulders and hugs. I wish we could. We can soon. I'm believing that soon that we'll be able to do that. And here's a good sign. I hope this doesn't cause distress for you, but it's a good sign. I read this last week that Marion County is going to start to hold court again. So I hope that doesn't distress you out. But because they said that signs are going well, so they're able to get back. So what we're going to do, order online. I checked, there's plenty of them. Order online hazmat suits. And next week we go back to hugging. I'm just joking. All right. Hey, let's pray. Let's pray this morning, could we? And God knows you're here. Did you know that? You didn't sneak in. He knows you're here. And even if you didn't want to be here today, mom made you come, your wife made you come, whatever, you're here. Let's give it over to God. He knows, and he knows what's going on with you. Let's just lift our hands up to the Lord. Even if you've never done that before, just do it right now. Lord, we honor you. We welcome you. Thank you, Lord, that you've ordered our steps. You've brought us here. You have something in mind. You have something in your heart. Help your people today. Help all of us. Touch us. Heal us. Refresh us in our spirit, in our soul, in our body. Do all that you want to do today. And as we share about vision today, Lord, it's for us all together, but it's for all of us individually as well. So we honor you in this time, and we thank you, Lord, that as we've lifted you up, now we want to listen up and receive from your word. Your word is light. It is life. You sent your word and healed our diseases. So I pray that even during this time where we're receiving your word, that you do a wonderful work in and for and through every one of us today. Help me to deliver your word in the right way today. And once again, we pray that when everything is said and done in this place, we want that you, Jesus, the Lord of our life, the head over all things to this church, may you be pleased, may you be honored. And may these your people, every single one of them, be helped today. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen, amen and amen. How about a huge welcome for our online campus? So glad you're with us. Peace to your house. It's going to be a good morning. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, happy Valentine's. Thank you. I went back, just kind of refreshed my memory on Valentine's, where it comes from. It was actually what was considered a minor feast in Christian history. It celebrated the death of a martyr in church history. His name was St. Valentine's. And our culture, as our culture does, has commercialized it. Did y'all notice that? I think it was 3 days after Christmas in the lobby of Cracker Barrel. They're already, you know, selling us Valentine's things, you know. So it's been commercialized and secularized and all of those kind of things regarding romantic love and friendship love and that kind of thing. And I'm for love. I'm for love in the world and the days that we're in. I'm for love. Let's look a little deeper at love here real quick. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved," that's you, "beloved, let us love one another." And I want to make much of this. One another, that's what the New Testament and what we're to be doing is largely in the context of one another. For God, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Next verse is kind of telling here. Go ahead. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And let's go a little bit deeper with love in verse 10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Anybody use that word this week, propitiation? It actually means the satisfaction of. And so the weight, the shame, the cost, penalty, the burden of our sin, Jesus came out of his love for us and satisfied that, removed that. And so that's love, and he demonstrated that love for us. I'm so thankful for the love of God for us. No, y'all didn't hear me. I'm so thankful for the love of God with us. Did you know he was patient with you this week? Gave you mercy every day, provided for you. He protected you in ways you're not even aware of. I mean, God is good. He loves you. Amen. Well, we're in a series. It's actually going to be a 2-month series called Your Attention, Please. And this will go right up until Easter. And we're sharing just some very vital, important things regarding intentional Christian living. Today, I want to use our time and talk about vision for the church. So today is Vision Sunday. Come on, everybody, read this with me. Vision Sunday. And on this day, the Lord's Day, I want to share with you some vision for this house and for what I believe the Lord wants us to do. Let's look at vision, first of all. What is it? In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Anybody say keepeth this week? Now, that's from the King James Version, published in 1611. So none of you were here then. But let's break this down a little bit. Where there is no vision, the word vision here has the idea of revelation. So it is, you can't just see revelation. It's something that has to be revealed to you. The Hebrew word for this actually means to take the cover off. So God will show you something. You don't just find it. He shows you something. And vision really has to do with something that God wants, something that God wants you to be a part of, something that he wants to happen. So where there's no vision, the people perish. They perish. Now, this word also means they cast off restraint. Literally, they lose their way. I don't think it's an all-out, full-blown rebellion kind of thing. It's that they lose their way. How many of you are glad that as you're driving down the road, 2-lane, 6-lane, whatever it would be, that there are lines? How many of you know some people don't pay attention to those lines? Or so you would think. Think how bad it would be without the lines. What God does, something that he wants you to do, some place that he wants to get you to, you know, there's some lines that go with that. If you don't have that, then you wander. You kind of lose their way. I watch with so many lives, and especially young lives. And what happens to young lives? They become old lives. That if you don't have a vision for your life, you just kind of wander through life. But he that keeps the law, and that just has to do with the parameters of the vision, happy or blessed are they, that when you do this God's way, that is the way to go. Can I get an amen? Amen. And then look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Did anybody read in Habakkuk this week? I've had one lady all morning that is the only one that was in Habakkuk. Well, guess what? We're reading it now. Habakkuk 2:2, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he or she may run who reads it. Now, this is part of the burden of leadership, is that you have to find out where we're going, say this is where we're going, and then make it plain. Make it clear. The Message Bible paraphrase says this, make it plain so it can be read on the run. So it's got to be easy to see. It's got to be easy to see. How many of you have ever put together like furniture from IKEA or something like that? And other aggravating things that some assembly required, you know? And I like things where you can kind of look at the instructions and look at what you got and go, okay, that makes sense, and you go to it. I hate when you've got to put something together and it's like, refer back to chart on page 114. And then you turn too far and now all instructions are in Chinese. And you turn back and it's French. And you just can't find your way. And after a while, you're like, ah. So a lot of things, you know, like I bought a grill a couple years ago and you could pay extra money to have it assembled at the place or come home in the box. What did I choose? I will pay you put it together, okay? But see, that's because it's kind of hard. And if it's too hard, then we're not going to do it right or we don't want to do it, which brings me to this point. Just as the Bible said, without vision, people perish. Guess what else? Without people, a vision perishes. And there are visions that have never come to pass because people weren't a part of it. And a lot of times that happens because it's not made clear. It's not made compelling. So it's very, very important that vision is shared in a clear, clear way. Now, here's a working definition that we've had the whole history of the church. Vision is a God-given goal that is attainable through the plan, through the power, and through the provision of God. Would you read that with me? Vision is a God-given goal that is attainable through the plan, through the power, and through the provision of God. Ultimately, it's His work done His way because it's His glory. Amen. Now, vision is seeing. It's not just a goal, it's what you can see. It's like if we do this, if we go in this direction, if we do these things, that's what I can see happening. You know, Alicia and I have raised 5 children and we had vision for their lives. You know, and vision is this, it's what could be. It's what should be. And so you get that on the inside of you as God begins to show you, go in this direction, handle things in this way, and then you start to see it's not just doing something, there's going to be a result from it, and it's what could be and what should be. Vision without action is just merely dreaming. Action without vision, that's just pointless busy work. It's just kind of passing time. But vision with action, vision with action changes your life. Vision with action changes our world. So guess where the battle is? Getting vision clear and then acting upon it appropriately so that you can end up in the place of what could be and what should be. If you're following so far, everybody say amen. Amen. So you, me, and we must have vision. You must. I must. And then we as Meadowbrook Church, we must. We must have vision. And something about vision, the very nature of vision, it often requires what is called revision. It needs adjustment. It needs to be tweaked. You know, there's things that need to be renewed in it. Because vision is progressive. Not progressive in the sense of the political term progressive. Progressive in the sense of it's unfolding, it's advancing, it's dynamic. Here's what you don't do with vision. You don't set it and forget it. Some people, well, we're going to do this, and then you start it, and then you just leave it. Vision requires, on occasion, revision. You know, maybe you had a vision for your front yard, and you were going to do some landscaping and clean it up and do all of this. And guess what? Your vision, even once it comes to pass, what's your vision going to need a little later? Some revision. Y'all here? And so vision, it's just part of vision that as it goes, it also needs revision. Remember that God always takes us from the known to the unknown. Church, I hope you're hearing me. He always takes us from the known to the unknown. Do you know why? Because He can't tell you everything at once. He can't download everything to you. And listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you couldn't handle it. You know, if God showed you your whole life, I'm thinking of my life, if He showed me my whole life, if He showed me what I was going to be doing in ministry, if He showed me with family and all of those things, I wouldn't be able to handle it. And if you knew everything in this, He wants to lead you through it, not just say, there it is. And as he leads you through it, if he didn't lead you through it, going from the known to the unknown, do you know what you would do? Do you know what I would do? We would skip parts. We go, well, that's not fun. That's not cool. And we would skip ahead to things where the greatest life lessons happen in the not fun, not cool part sometimes. We would say, well, I don't see why on earth we need to do that. Let's go ahead and get over here. And we would leave parts out, and then we wouldn't have the character, we wouldn't have the strength to even stand in the other parts. It's a whole journey, and God takes us from the known. Go ahead and say this with me. God takes me from the known to the unknown. And see what it is, vision is progressive, and vision requires revision. And so as you travel your path, your journey, things change. Your view changes. Imagine if we were going to travel to Kalamazoo. It's a real place. It's in Michigan. I had friends from Kalamazoo in second service today. Which way is Kalamazoo? North. I hear the answer. But how many of you know that north is not going to get us there? We say, where are you going? Kalamazoo. How are you going to get there? North. Because within a half hour, you're driving through somebody's yard. Are y'all hearing me? You're crashing into stuff. You're stuck in somebody's pool. You're driving through a mall. You can't get, because north won't get you there. Well, my vision is I'm going to Kalamazoo, and it's north. But as you travel, you see, well, 75 north to start. Yeah, but how many of you know that's not just going to be this straight line? And there may be construction along the way, and a detour, and a slowdown, and all of these things, and different routes that get you. Sometimes we've traveled to places, and it's supposed to be west, and we're going north, you know, to get us to a place where it's more efficient to get there. So God takes us from the known to the unknown, and as we travel, vision does require revision. Are y'all with me today? So what am I talking about? Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Meadowbrook Church. And in particular, I want to talk about our services. And this is what I want to share some vision with you about. Our services, and I give God glory for this. This August, Meadowbrook Church will be 32 years old. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Thank you, God. And God has been faithful to us. But as I look at what we do, the main core function, the central event of what happens that drives everything else in the church are our services. It's what we're in right now. Everything else we do is fueled and spins off of out of our services. Our services matter. I said our services matter. You know, when we were, you know, had to go into quarantine and all of that, my heart, my mind, just everything about me, what do we do? Because people still need the word. People need to be prayed for. People need to be encouraged. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What do we do? This is vital. This is vital. You know, and so we enhanced even more what we were doing online. And I'm so thankful that we're headed in the direction that we are. But services really matter. Here's something that we say, one of our principles, one of our battle cries. Church days affect the rest of your days. Why don't you read that with me? Church days affect the rest of your days. Look at me. They really do. I ran into a guy not too long ago in Target, and he was sharing with me this and that and his story, and this is all going bad, and that went south and all of this. And I said, well, okay, all that's happening. How are you? I'm just not good. And all of a sudden, then he just kind of stood up, and he said, church days affect the rest of your days. And I told him, I said, and lack of church days affect the rest of your days. He goes, I'll see you Sunday. See, and his whole thing was he let life get on him and all of that, and he wasn't in church because of all of that, but church days affect the rest of your days. Can I tell you something? And I love bowling, but bowling days do not affect the rest of your days or any other day that you have. It's church. Come on, one more time. Church days affect the rest of your days. And then look at this too, and this is important. Church done right is the hope of the world. Not church. Church is not the hope of the world. Church is part of the problem with our world when it's done wrong. And the enemy would use that so that then people will never give church another try when church is done wrong. But church done right, which is our entire focus, that's what this is about today. Church done right is the hope of the world. And my, the world needs some hope right now. Amen. So what about Meadowbrook? And I say this just as an honest assessment. Meadowbrook is strong. There's excellence here. There's authenticity here. I think what we do is life-changing. I think what we do matters. I think our praise and worship is extraordinary. I think our facilities are great. Our environments for next generation are so engaging. I think the teaching is strong and clear. I know I'm the teacher, but I think the teaching is strong and clear. Every Tuesday we have one of our team meetings. It's called Greenlight. And what we do is we do review of last week's service and preview of the week coming up. So there's a whole team that's there. I'm there so we can get up close and talk about what happened Sunday. We need to work on that, fix this, do all that. And then looking ahead, let's make sure, let's look, oh, that sounds good, let's pray, you know, kind of thing. And every week, this is my standing joke every week, our executive pastor opens the meeting and he'll say, so, all right, let's talk about Sunday last week. What'd y'all think? And I always chime in with this every week. I say, I really liked the speaker. And then they'll respectfully say, and you need some new jokes. But this is the thing about jokes. You don't need new ones if they're that good. Okay? Just wanted to share. But back on point here. I think the teaching is clear and strong. I think this is a church that genuinely cares. I think this is a friendly church, a welcoming church, an inviting church. This is a God-honoring church. And I think life change is taking place here. But for a good while, I've had something on the inside. I call it a holy frustration. I think about it during the week, and as I'm preparing and praying, I really feel it a lot of Sundays when I leave here. I drive here, I get here early, I come by myself. My family, you know, joins me for this service typically, and then we'll all drive, you know, to where we're going to go have lunch or if we go back home for lunch. And so a lot of times I'm driving by myself, and can I just be vulnerable? Sometimes I pull away and I feel like that was a good morning. It was a good morning. That was solid. That was good. And then I feel on the inside, but there's something missing. There's something missing. There's more. And I prayed about it. I'm not a beginning leader. I know how to process these things. I've prayed about it. I've talked about it. I've conferred with people about it. We've had meetings about it. I've talked to my wife. She's had great input. Guys, listen to me, and not just because it's Valentine's. Listen to your wife. God will speak to you through your wife. Wives, do not at this point go, see, I told you, because that kind of kills the moment, okay? But to process this, and I still had kind of a holy frustration. About a month ago, I went to a pastor's conference, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now. The speaker was sharing about 50 years in ministry. Highly regarded. That has nothing to do with what I'm about to tell you. The content, the location, all that has nothing to do with it. But this is what I found. And I enjoyed the conference. I got so much out of it. It's 3 days worth, 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock every day, and just taking in information and so forth. But here was the thing. I was in an atmosphere that was prepared for us. People had been praying. Everybody that was there were about 80 pastors, everybody that was there wanted to be there. They paid the price, put out the energy, they wanted to be there. It was a different setting than the setting that I'm always in. I had no responsibility, which is kind of nice. to go to a meeting and I don't have to do anything. And then there was an anointing there. I mean, there was God's presence and power was there. And then every time I go away to any kind of meeting, I always say, and Lord, beyond the content and purpose of this conference or meeting, if there's anything you want to say, anything you want to show me, I want that. And so we're in this conference, and I can't explain this to you, but all of a sudden, I just started to get clarity. I mean, what I had a holy frustration, it was just clear for me. It wasn't anything anybody had said. It was just God's presence, his anointing, his leading. He began to make clear to me some things. On one of the nights, I woke up about 3 o'clock, and if you're like me, wake up at 3 o'clock, you're like, what's going on? What's wrong? You know, look around. There was nothing. It was just quiet and everything was fine. And then I realized that the Lord had something for me, and I got up and I wrote some things down, and I just had clarity. And since I got that clarity, I had some confirmation. Then I immediately came back. I shared with my wife. I shared with our teams. And it has to do with vision, and it has to do with revision. And I got clarity on some things. So for our vision, there is some revision pertaining to our services. And I feel like the Lord put this word in my heart to describe it all. And so this is what we're going to run under here. Regroup. Come on, everybody say it. Regroup. Say it like you know what it means. Come on.
Regroup.
Regroup. Regroup is a military term. And it's where you gather and regather and regroup and bring together everything that you have. You bring it together. Let's get our troops. Let's get our stuff. Let's get everything together so that we can go out and do what we need to do. It's also in sports, you would regroup. Coach calls a timeout. What's that for? Come on, everybody back in together. Make sure you're doing this. Let's do this. Halftime, you know, basketball, football, halftime. You pull together. Why? Because you want to win the game. We've got to talk about things, not just drink Gatorade, okay? And so it's to come together like a families. Families have a time where they regroup, you know, challenges going on or just a new season of life or what. Hey, let's talk about this. Businesses need to, every now and then, they need to kind of regroup and bring revision to the vision. So as it pertains to our services, y'all still with me?
Yes.
As it pertains to our services need to not be just about what we do. I shared what we do. And I think what we do well. And I don't say this in a wrong way. I think we do it better than a whole lot do, because of what our heart is and what our effort is and what God has blessed us with. But our services cannot just be about what we do. And what the Lord put in my heart is to give time and make room. Give time and make room for his presence and for ministry moments. I want to say it again. To give time and make room for his presence and for ministry moments, which is needed more now than ever. And can I tell you something? Lives are being changed. Things are happening. God, people are getting saved. People are going to heaven that were going to hell. I mean, all kinds of things are happening. But do you know what can happen in an instant in God's presence? Not just a sermon, not just songs, but in God's presence, what can happen? Addictions that are decades old, somebody can walk out free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. How'd that happen? It was in God's presence. And it happened. Marriages that are so broken up and damaged and they can't even face each other, somehow God can breathe upon that and turn that around. God can heal bodies. He who made us can fix us. People whose hearts were hard against church and God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit can suddenly just soften their heart and take that heart of stone and melt it down where it opens up for him and they receive life. This all can happen in the presence of God. Are y'all here?
Yes.
In Exodus chapter 33, It says, for your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people in the world. And that's not just true back when Exodus was penned, but that's true now. And I would say it even more than ever, that his presence among us, his presence with us, that is what distinguishes us, and that's what people around us need. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. Now, we are going to shift our services from just a service to an encounter. To shift our service from just a service to an experience. We're living in the day of the internet. You can get everything online. We have no lack of content. We have no lack of sermons. You could listen to sermons all day long from all over the world today. Matter of fact, some of you have 4 and 5 online pastors and 3 online prophets. And I would say settle down and get planted in the house of the Lord. But that's another message that I'll be doing in a few weeks, okay? But back to this. Well, I wanted to hear so-and-so speak and so-and-so speak. You can do it just online, online. There's no lack of information. There's no lack of content. But what we need is not just a service and information. We need his presence. We need an experience in God's presence. And God has given me some clarity. He's given me kind of a template, if you will. And I'm not going to share that really with you today of how to kind of do our services in a little different way. But this is the thing, it's going to take more time. It's going to take more time. And currently, the way we're set right now, every moment is spoken for. Because we're doing what we do. And what we do well. But we need to give time and make room for the presence of God and for ministry moments. So there's the why, which is the most important thing. So here's the what. Here's what we're going to do. You still with me?
Yes.
Currently, our service is 1 hour. And I got 2 minutes left. Point made?
Yeah.
Currently, our service is 1 hour. That's 60 minutes. And we're moving to 1 hour and 15, not as a solid wall, but 1 hour and 15 minutes with some margin. And we'll still have time to do ample turnaround time. This way we can spread out and have pastoral moments. We can have prophetic moments. And by prophetic, I don't mean weird. I mean exhortation, encouragement, comfort. Prophetic is not predicting who's going to win the Super Bowl or who's going to win the election. That's not the prophetic we're talking about. Prophetic is God speaking into a moment what he knows and bringing words that set people free and help them. Amen. I want our praise and worship to be able to flow in a scriptural progression so that it all goes together. We'll have ministry moments that God would lead, and our pastors, we have wonderful pastors on staff, and then Alicia and myself, ministry moments, and that we just have a little more margin. So to make that happen, beginning March 7th, first Sunday of March, everybody say March 7th.
March 7th,
we're regrouping, everybody say regroup. We're going to regroup into 2 services at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, starting March 7th, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. It gives us the time that we need. Well, we're going to need another service. I'll be honest with you, we will. We might even need 2 more once this really starts to happen. We'll figure that out later. This is what we have clarity on now, on how to regroup. So starting March 7th, 9 o'clock, almost at 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Now, one of our major considerations, you ready for this? One of the major considerations for those times. And hats off to our team. They did a lot of work, a lot of research, a lot of prayer, a lot of meetings. As we came back, what is the best times to do these? And one of the major considerations is your children. Your children. Sometimes we just drag our kids, you know, go to your class and behave. I don't want to see your name up on the thing and me called out of class. You know. And sometimes we need to help our kids, not get them there too early and too late, and to have some times where biologically and some of their rhythms and some of the ways that they learn, that we're helping them with that. And it's important. It's not catering to our kids. It's helping our kids to have a wonderful experience. We're doing our best. We're going to be enhancing some things, even with children's ministry. Now, I'm going to tell you how important it is. The numbers used to be 80-something percent. The numbers now are closer to 90% of those that will give their life to Jesus. Close to 90% of the people that will do that by age 18. Which means once they hit 18, there is virtually very little chance. Look at our culture today and look at the attack. Look at the garbage that is wrapped up as fun and being focused at our kids to get them off course. So I want it to be such an experience that when our kids get here, that we're giving them our absolute very best. It's not just about us in the big room. It's about our kids and making a difference for them. And I'm happy to report, too, we have been watching just a great influx of young families with children coming to Meadowbrook. Now, here's one of the harder parts, but I have just as much expectation and confidence in this, too. Really, as of today, I'm pulling in our East Campus to join us here at Central. Everybody say regroup. I'm pulling in East Campus to join us here at Central. With COVID and all the complications, everything else going on, our teams, our resources, our efforts are spread out, at times stretched beyond what we could do to field teams for both campuses. And so we need to regather and regroup. Part of the strength that you felt on the platform this morning from worship team was from that regrouping. God has blessed us with some incredible people, and we have absolutely worn them slap out. And we need to regather and get all of that together, among other things. Now, look me in the eye for this. I'm not sure. I really don't have clarity yet on how long that will be, if there will be a relaunch, if this is a permanent thing. I really do not have that clarity. I will have clarity. God will give us clarity. I just know for now and for the foreseeable future, we're all together. We're regathered. We're regrouped. And I want to, at this point, give an absolute huge, huge thank you to Pastor Sean and Jess and all the Dream Team at East Campus. Are you in here? Stand up, man. Stand up. Give it up for this. And Pastor Sean has just been absolutely so supportive and encouraging during this regroup, because I've just kind of walked in and said, here's where we're going, troops, and they're with us, so that's beautiful. Also, just one other aspect, and it's a smaller aspect, but it is an aspect with having East Campus, because what we would do, they would do live worship, and then they would live stream the message from here. And so to do that requires a lot of time synchronization that you're not even aware of, that making that hit just right. And so that also, affects our ability to be able to spread out a little bit and have those ministry moments as well. So that's the what, that's the why. And let me say, in our current world, our current challenges, this is understandable. Beyond that, though, organizations either pivot or they won't be here. Even Disney World has made some major pivots, because it's a matter of if we're going to be here or not. And I know that we're going to be here. We're strong. The church is strong. But the Lord is leading us now to regroup. And it's important that we pivot and regroup. Alicia and I were a couple months ago in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. Have y'all heard of that? Yeah. And there are four lines, both sides of the building. Do you know what happened when COVID and shutdown and all of that? They kept serving chicken. You couldn't sit in their living room, but you pull up, and they just had the one drive-through. They pivoted. They did something different. Their revenues are way more than what they were pre all of this. We're sitting in that line waiting for our chicken. Somebody bring my chicken to my window, okay? It's a pretty good deal. We're sitting there, one of four lines, sitting there waiting. And I looked across the street, across State Road 200. And here's this place that not only has all these lines wrapped around the building and backing up down State Road 200. And I looked directly across the street, and shuttered up is a Ruby Tuesdays that didn't make the move. You cannot set it and forget it. You have to pay attention. But beyond circumstances, because circumstances matter, challenges matter, but even more than that, leaders must be led. And I feel led of the Holy Spirit, and I want to be led by the Holy Spirit because He knows everything. Amen. He knows everything. So the things that I don't have full clarity on yet, we will know at the right time because He's leading us and He will help us with this. Let me wrap this up because I'm already out of time. You get it. What He has for us tomorrow is prepared by the prayers we pray today. Our future is paved in prayer. We can't just roll up to this. We have to get ahead of this in prayer. We can proceed with faith. We can proceed and will proceed with great joy, knowing that God has great things in store. I actually, because vision is also seeing the result of it, I don't see this with my eyes. I just have a knowing by the, and with the eyes of faith, that I can see more people getting saved, more people coming to Jesus than we've ever seen. I see people coming back to the Lord that through life or religion or got hurt along the way, I see people coming back to the Lord. I believe that as we make room for the presence of God, people are going to be set free from stuff that's bothered them for decades. I believe that bodies are going to be healed. I believe that there will be signs, wonders, and miracles. We've been doing all that we can do, and we've been doing it well, and we've been doing it with a right heart unto God, but we need God to do what God does. And we're going to make room. We're going to make time for that. Amen. This is important. I'm honestly almost done. Psalm 133. Behold, that means pay attention, hear this, see this. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This sounds counterintuitive, but we must fight for unity. Meadowbrook Church has enjoyed a strong spirit of unity, but all the more in these days, behold how good, how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. Watch this. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. That's anointing. Where there's unity, there'll be anointing. Do you know what the anointing does? It removes burdens. It destroys yokes. It makes the difference. Go ahead. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. That's the refreshing. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's refreshing. Imagine that every time we come. And watch this. For there, where? For there, where there's unity, the Lord commanded blessing forevermore. We'll make it our business to stay in unity and move into this together, prayerfully move in this together. And there will be anointing and there will be refreshing. And I love this part. And there, the Lord commands blessings. Not just that the Lord blesses, but the Lord commands blessings in that place. So every time, everybody say every time. Every time we gather, every time you join us online, and listen to me, we have a full commitment to even enhance further what we're doing online. We're glad you're with us. But every time we gather, every time we join online, let's do so with even more honor. Let's do so with more hunger than ever before, because listen, it's His presence that makes the difference. It's His presence that we need more than ever before. And as we do this, I just know this, watch what God will do. Amen. 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 Did y'all get anything out of this today? Thank you, Lord.